Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Imagine with me nearly 19 centuries ago. The old bishop of Smyrna smiles up at the stars. Blessed are you, O Lord God of our fathers. Blessed are you, praised and exalted above all forever. The bishop's body is aged, but his heart is young on the winds of the Spirit. The 86-year-old man leans against the rail, the smell of bubbling stew below him on the hearth widens his smile. This old man, this old bishop, Polycarp by name, limps from the rail through the bedroom door. He stretches his frame across the bed's straw mattress. He closes his eyes. He thinks of the vision from 3 days before. The smoke curling up from his pillow like tasseled ringlets of gray hair. The flames licking the fabric black. And then the straw stuffing igniting in a burst of orange. The sign, the vision clear. He can already see it. His naked body tied to the stake in the midst of the arena, the fire billowing up around him, the mob screaming, "Away with the atheist!" And the proconsul's wrinkled nose. Have some respect for your age, old man. Why will you not offer a sacrifice to the genius of Caesar, to the god of Caesar? After the vision, Polycarp, the bishop, had turned to his young companions. It is necessary that I be burned alive. And now, 3 days later, the soldiers are coming. Polycarp laces his fingers behind his head, and he whispers, "May God's will be done." Within an hour, a child's hand shakes him awake. The boy's voice is strained. "Bishop, the soldiers are here. What do we do?" When we hear the tales of the martyrs like Polycarp, we see Jesus' words from our gospel reading put on vivid display. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." And listening to the final hours of a person like Polycarp, we find ourselves both intrigued and afraid. Intrigued because if we've grown up in this country, we've never really experienced anything quite like that. The giving of one's whole self on behalf of Jesus Christ. But also afraid because in the shifting cultural moment, we never quite know where our culture might go. Might it move in a more tyrannical direction? And if so, the anxiety increases as we ponder these sorts of stories. What do we do in that moment? What do we do in moments of persecution? It's no secret, of course, that in our society there are plenty of people who believe that we are a bit of a detriment to this world, that we are the atheists who deny the gods, And it's true, we are. While our world prostrates itself in the temples of unfettered freedom, pleasure, and the next thing, we struggle against these idols as we walk the road of repentance and seek the hard-edged sanctity, the virtue of the Holy One of Israel. We are the atheists. We are the deniers of the gods of this age. We are the antisocial ones. And so we are often afraid of what might come, and also afraid because we don't know what to do if what we fear might come comes. Who knows what the future might bring? What if in 20 years we aren't able to get jobs because of our faith? What if we aren't able to get health care or open a checking account without signing a pledge of our allegiance to particular beliefs in the gods of this world? And so our voices are strained, nervous. What if the soldiers are here? What do we do? And it's just here that Jesus' voice pierces our fear. He tells us what to do. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father, nor me. The moment fear erupts in our hearts, Jesus invites us to have compassion on our enemies, invites us to love them. They do this because they do not know the Father or me. They are ignorant. In other words, don't hate them. Love them. In our epistle reading, St. Peter elaborates on Jesus' teaching. In fact, the previous 6 verses before the epistle reading are all about how we are to participate in Jesus' sufferings. And then Peter sums all of it up with a very Jesus-like few sentences. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. What do we do if persecution comes? There's lots of speculation on social media and all over the place. But Jesus is clear. Be merciful. Love. Love one another and love your enemies, because love covers a multitude of sins. It's interesting that in the martyrdom of Polycarp, an early Christian document, the authors of that story are insistent that Polycarp embodies what it means to live in a moment of persecution. They note others who were quick to give themselves up so they could be martyrs, and who immediately recanted upon the trial. But then there is Polycarp, as they tell the tale, embodying Jesus' command. The boy's voice strained there in the darkness. Bishop, the soldiers are here. What do we do? Polycarp pats the boy's cheek. I will go down and talk to them. The legionnaires stand in the atrium, shifting from foot to foot, fingering their short bladed gladii. And the old man appears at the head of the stairs. Welcome, my guests. Welcome. His rich, warm voice, the gentle timbre in his tone, startles, confuses the soldiers. The bishop reaches the bottom of the steps. He gestures towards the triclinium with its table and couches. Come, my friends, sup with us this evening. Polycarp's kind eyes twinkle with a hint of mischief. I imagine Proconsul Herod was in such a hurry to catch an old goat that he didn't even let you have time to have dinner. And as the bewildered forces gather around the table, the old bishop asks a single favor. Again, his voice is calm and gentle. "May I have an hour or so to pray undisturbed?" The captain in charge nods as he slurps the thick stew. "I don't see why not." And so Bishop Polycarp of Smyrna, a disciple of St. John, stands among his captors praying. For 2 hours, he sings the songs of the Spirit. His words gather and tumble through the air like a flock of doves. He prays for his people. He prays for all those who he has ever met, presumably also then for the soldiers gathered around the table. He prays, caught up for 2 hours. The soldiers enraptured, stunned. And when the amen crosses his wrinkled lips, he limps out the door surrounded by his embarrassed captors. "Why are we taking this man prisoner?" And Polycarp walks towards his martyrdom in the arena. The records of St. Polycarp's martyrdom are clear. In this moment of persecution, he loves his enemies. He's merciful to them. He prays for them. He feeds them supper. And he is gentle and kind. And so this morning, as we are afraid of what might come, as we ponder the vicissitudes of our culture and our life, Jesus tells us what to do. Love. Love your enemies. Jesus invites us to limp down the stairs with the aged bishop, to feed our enemies some thick stew, to stand beside them and to pray for them, to love them, to treat them with patience, kindness, gentleness. For this is the Jesus way. The end of all things is at hand. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another.